CBS News. A new report from the FBI covering the first 9 months of 1974 shows that the national crime rate rose 16% during the period, the largest such increase in 6 years. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. During the same period, a year ago, the crime rate rose only 1%. But in the last 3 months of 1973, the rate began a dramatic increase, which has continued. The new report shows that crime in smaller cities showed the greatest increase. For the violent crimes of murder, rape, robbery, and assault, overall, the increase was 8%. Property crimes such as burglary, larceny, and vehicle theft leaped 17%. In fact, larceny showed the biggest increase of any single crime category, 20%. Murder, on the other hand, was up the least, 2%. Attorney General Saxby says the increasing crime rate, quote, requires an intensification of our efforts to identify the causes, to improve crime prevention, and to ensure swift protection. Two of three women being held hostage by a prison escapee in a farmhouse in Michigan City, Indiana, were shot dead Thursday night. Then the escapee gave up. The third woman was taken to a hospital in shock. Police identified the convict as Riley Mosley Jr. of Indianapolis, who was serving a 10 to 20 year sentence for armed robbery. He escaped from a work detail at the state prison Honor Farm Thursday afternoon, apparently taking a revolver from a guard and fleeing inside the nearby farmhouse. Police units soon ringed the site, but officials said he repeatedly refused to surrender during negotiations. The exact details of the shootings are not yet known. We'll have more news after this.
Are you an ex-Navy man? Been out a while? Well, then you've probably had a pretty good taste of civilian life. So what do you think? Is it what you expected? Is the job exciting enough for you? Is it an important job that satisfies you? Are you really making the most of yourself? You may want to think about re-enlisting in the Navy. You've got the experience the Navy needs, the experience that'll help you make the most of yourself back in the Navy. And maybe you'd like to travel some more, or maybe you want shore duty. Chances are there's a Navy program to fit your interests. And chances are you'll be right back at your old rate. Think about it. Talk to your local recruiter. He'll be glad to see an old Navy man. Or call this toll-free number anytime. 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Make the most of yourself. Re-enlist in the Navy.
Three Boston school committee members will be in court Friday morning to explain why they should not be held in contempt for defying a judge's orders earlier this month when they voted against a new school desegregation plan for next fall. More on the court hearing from Jim Westover of WEEI in Boston.
U.S. District Judge W. Arthur Garrity faces some tough legal questions at the hearing. In an atmosphere that until now has been filled more with emotional conflicts than legal ones, the judge will have to decide whether to hold three members of the Boston School Committee in civil contempt of court for their refusal to approve a sweeping new desegregation plan for next year. Judge Garrity has hinted at times he may find it necessary to bypass the committee, whose members are elected officials, because of their unwillingness to cooperate. There's even been talk of the judges separating the school committee from desegregation decisions of any kind. Dramatic judicial action the judge himself admits falls into a gray area of the law. The school committee, in its turn, has voted unanimously to appeal Judge Garrity's original busing order to the United States Supreme Court. Jim Westover for CBS News, Boston.
Comedian Jack Benny is gravely ill with stomach cancer at his California home, and his agent says he is not expected to last much longer. Benny is 80 years old, and though he complained of stomach pain for several weeks, medical tests did not determine that cancer was the cause until very recently. More after this.
Hello there, I'm Mike Rowe.
Well, let's see, that'll make me Denny Bracken.
Joining in the festivities, the holiday week coming up on the cook thing. Oh, what's up for tomorrow, Super Chef?
Filbert Lemon Logs.
Who?
Filbert Lemon Logs, you remember him. Anyway, it's a tangy, lemony confection rolled in filberts.
Filbert, would that make you a log roller by any chance there,
no,
Chef?
No, but that kind of remark will make you unemployed if you keep it up.
I know, that'd be a heck of a way to start the new year. You're only funning, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Join the wonderful fellow, the Super Chef, on Mike's Cook Thing here on the CBS Radio Net.
This court finds you guilty.
It's kind of too bad because he really did not know. He was just passing through New York State. He didn't know about the tough new drug laws. But you can know. Just write Drug Laws, Box 8200, Albany, New York. A copy of the new laws will be sent to you.
6 years to life.
This nationwide message from the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission.
Two zoos in the news. Officials at the Lion Country Safari on an animal park in California say that a two-month-old baby cheetah worth about $5,000 was stolen from its mother's side there. The cub had not been weaned, and it's feared it may die if not properly cared for. In Coventry, England, two wild boars, maddened by stones thrown at them by some children, broke out of their pens and ran through the town. The male of the pair was soon captured, but the female remains at large despite the efforts of several hundred searchers. Officials at the Coventry Zoo say the boars weigh several hundred pounds. The animal is bad-tempered at the best of times and can be ferocious. Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
The time, 6 minutes past 10. Stay tuned for CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We have this much to say about the weather. There is a traveler's advisory condition existing, brought on by hazardous weather conditions. Accumulations of 3 to 5 inches, except for greater amounts in the outlying areas. Decreasing showers tomorrow and tomorrow night, clearing by Saturday, and it's expected to turn to rain by tomorrow morning. However, the hazardous conditions still do exist. Motorists are advised not to drive unless absolutely necessary. Temperature downtown at 33 degrees. The wind out of the north at 7. It's 31 at the airport. The barometer continues to fall. It's at 29.34. Extremely low barometer, indicating the disturbance is at its height at the moment. And extreme caution is advised to all motorists and, of course, to all pedestrians as well, since the footing is equally hazardous, whether you're driving or walking. The time now, 7 minutes past 10. Time for CBS Mystery Theater.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. My tale is about murder, that crime of crimes. Shakespeare said, "Murder, though it have no tongue, speaks with most miraculous organ." And indeed, in this case, the murderer unwittingly convicts himself by saying too much. It is a story with surprising twists and turns, with double crosses on double crosses. Listen to a man being set up to murder.
She's dying. Slowly. 10 years, the doctor said. Do you expect me to hang around in the background all that time, waiting for her to die? I'm not going to wait, Bill.
Adrian, darling, listen to me.
It's a simple decision you have to make, Bill.
We'll be penniless. I'll have nothing.
Not if she dies while you're still married to her. Not if she dies knowing nothing about me. Not if she dies before she can change her will.
Our mystery drama, Turnabout is Foul Play, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Mason Adams and Vicky Vola. It is sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your call to Contac. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1? That's the question. When you catch the common cold, sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour Contac. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 Contac for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The tiny time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in Contac. Your cold, your choice.
Give your call. called to contact.
6 or 301. Take contact. Only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment, but now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
There certainly is, Lou.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which are to be paid for by the landlord.
Then when you move, this list helps you to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
Pulled into the parking lot of the seedy motel, which bore the name Ritz Manor, Rooms and Meals, Reasonable Rates. Seated at the wheel of the modest car, obviously a rental, is a handsome, well-dressed man in his middle 30s. At his side is an equally attractive woman whose appearance and manner would make her stand out in any company. The man parks the car in front of Cabana Numero 4, as it is called on the sign posted over the door. He gets out and opens the car door for the woman.
This flea bag again.
It's safe. They know me here. They don't ask questions.
Oh, good Lord, it's stifling in here. Turn on the air conditioning.
Okay. It'll be cool in a few minutes. Should be some ice in the fridge. You want a drink?
Thanks. I'll take it without adulteration.
There you are.
Thanks, darling. He's looking at you. Well, that's better. Much better.
I hope it improves your mood. You've been in a miserable state from the moment I picked you up.
Do blame me, Bill.
Oh, come on, Adrian.
Meeting in little out-of-the-way restaurants, going to cheap motels, hiding on side streets, scared stiff we might be seen together?
It won't be forever.
How long is forever? We've known each other for 2 years.
Not again. Are we going to rehash that old business?
No rehash, Bill. We're going to decide what we must do. We can't put it off any longer.
Our divorce is out. Anne wouldn't stand for it.
She can't keep you tied to her if you don't want to stay.
Oh, yes, she can. It's all her money. All of it. I don't have a dime unless she gives it to me.
Well, there's an answer to that, too.
What?
She's not well. You're her husband. He'll get it all when she dies.
Well, if you mean waiting...
You told me yourself that the doctor said...
Dr. Richardson said she wouldn't recover, but he also said that it was the kind of illness that could go on and on. She could live another 10 years.
Why?
Why? It's the nature of her illness.
I'm not talking about her illness. There are other ways.
You're not actually suggesting...
I'll give it to you cold and clear. One, you're married to her. You love me. Two, she's ill, dying.
But...
Now hear me out. She's dying, slowly. 10 years, you said. Do you expect me to hang around for 10 years? I won't wait, Bill.
Adrian, darling, listen to me.
It's a simple decision you have to make. Adrian or Anne?
We'll be penniless. I'll have nothing.
Not if she dies while you're still married. Not if she dies knowing nothing about me.
Now, Mrs. Sperling, I want you to relax completely. I want you to be receptive to my words.
Yes, doctor.
But it is not my words which will cure you. You must cure yourself.
Oh, but Dr. Topescu,
Dr. Richardson said...
My dear lady, I said I would not treat your case unless you gave me your full confidence. Has this Dr. Richardson held out any hope for you?
No. He's been very honest with me. He told me that my time was limited.
There, you see? Words like that can be destructive. They are negative and have no place in my work. You must think and feel positive. You are to get well.
Yes, doctor.
Have you sent this Dr. Richardson away?
Oh, well, that would be rather difficult.
Why?
Well, Dr. Richardson's been an old friend for many years. He'd be hurt.
My dear lady, it is obvious that I have little influence on you. And if that is the case, I cannot do you any good. So, madam, I bid you goodbye. I shall not return.
Oh, no, please. Oh, please don't go. You give me hope. I'll do anything you ask.
You will obey me completely.
Yes, yes.
Very well. I shall continue. If, however, I feel that you have the slightest doubt, I shall terminate our relationship immediately. There will be no second chance.
I understand. And I agree.
Very well. Now, I am going to put you to sleep. A gentle sleep. A healing sleep. Now, lean back. Relax. Relax completely. There, that is better. Now, concentrate on my eyes. Look deep into them. Deep. The world is receding. You can feel nothing. You can see nothing but my eyes. Now sleep. Sleep. Mrs. Sperling, you are asleep, but you can hear my voice. You will obey my commands. Answer me.
I will obey your commands.
You will awaken in a moment or two, and you will feel better than you have felt for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
I am going to give you a post-hypnotic suggestion. You will, after I have been gone an hour, ask for the telephone. It will be brought to your bedside. You will call your attorney, Harold Gifford, and you will ask him to come here next Wednesday at 2:00 in the afternoon. All you will say to him on the phone is that you wish to change your will. I'll tell you Wednesday morning how you will change your will.
Hello.
Bill?
Yeah.
This is Harold, Bill. Awake you?
No. I've been up for hours. What's a good word, Harold? Are you breaking our golf date?
No, nothing like that. Mind if I ask you a personal question?
Oh, go ahead. You're our lawyer, aren't you?
I am also your friend. Bill.
Yeah?
How are you and Ann getting along?
How are we What's a funny question? Fine, I guess.
Anything happened recently? A quarrel? Serious misunderstanding? Another woman?
No quarrel, no misunderstanding. Ann loves me. I take the fifth on the last question about another woman. Anyway, Ann doesn't know about it. What goes?
Forget it. Sorry, Wolf.
Now, wait a minute. You can't ask me all sorts of personal questions and then hang up without telling me why you're asking them. Has Ann been talking to you?
Legal ethics, Bill. Can't answer that.
Then she has been talking to you.
Bill.
About us, that is.
I'm her lawyer, Bill. I can't.
And to hell with your legal ethics. You were my friend before you were our lawyer.
I'm ringing off, Bill.
Does she want a divorce?
Wouldn't she have told you if she did?
She's changing her will, that's it. She's changing her will. Harold, that's it, isn't it? That's what you've been trying to tell me.
I haven't been trying to tell you anything, Bill.
Okay, counselor. Thanks anyway. I'm going to have a talk with her.
Leave my name out of it. And by the way, double-check that new doctor of hers, Lupescu.
Lupescu, sure, I'll check him out. And thanks again.
You have spoken with your attorney, Mrs. Sperling?
I have spoken with him, Doctor. The will is being changed in accordance with your instructions.
Good. Now, when I clap my hands, you will awaken, refreshed, and in excellent spirits. There, Mrs. Sperling. How are you feeling?
Wonderful. Oh, I feel so relaxed.
I told you that you would.
Come in.
Oh, I'm not disturbing anything, am I?
No, darling. I want you to meet Dr. Lupescu. Doctor, this is my husband.
I do. Anne, dear, whatever happened to Dr. Richardson?
Nothing, Bill. But Dr. Lupescu's been able to help me.
Dr. Richardson couldn't.
Mr. Sperling, my services to your wife can be terminated with a word.
Well, here's the word. Send me your charges, Dr. Lupescu, or perhaps you'd like a check
now. Bill, you don't know what you're saying. Dr. Lupescu is very necessary to my health. He's done more for me in a short time.
Please, madam. Please, do not defend me. I will leave you to settle this matter between you.
But you will come back, Doctor.
What? You'd ask him to come back?
Please, Mr. Sperling, consider the state of your wife's health before you make irrevocable statements.
Well, if you would kindly leave, I'd be able to speak to my wife about the state of her health.
Good day.
What have you done?
And listen to me. He calls himself doctor. Whether he is or not is a matter for conjecture.
You don't know anything against him? Without knowing, with just your suspicions, you rush in here, you insult them.
And listen to me.
No, I'm not going to listen to you. You don't have my welfare at heart.
He's turning you against me. That I do know.
What? What are you saying?
What was Harold Gifford doing here yesterday?
What? Why do you ask?
He was here, wasn't he?
Yes, he dropped in to see how I was feeling. It was just a friendly call. Harold's an old friend.
He's also our lawyer.
Yes?
Did you call him and ask him to come here, or did he just drop in, as you say?
I don't understand, Bill. What's all this got to do with us? With Dr. Lupescu?
A great deal. I don't know what part, if any, that phony doctor has in this, but did you, and I want you to answer this honestly, did you tell Harold that you wanted to change your will?
No.
That's the truth?
Did Harold tell you that I did?
No, he couldn't. Confidential matter between attorney and client.
Well, then why are you so worked up? Did you think I was cutting you out?
I don't know what I thought.
Because it isn't true. I love you, Bill. I haven't been much of a wife to you since I came down with this thing.
Anne, let's not talk about it.
No, we must. There's no point in pretending that I'm going to get well. I'm not.
Anne.
And after I go, everything I have will be yours, Bill. I want it to be that way. Because I love you.
Penny for your thoughts, Bill.
What?
You've been so preoccupied.
I'm sorry.
Something bothering you?
Yeah, plenty.
Do you want to tell me?
My wife is changing her will.
What? How do you know?
I know. Gifford called me. He's our lawyer. I'm being cut out.
Completely?
Oh. A few crumbs might be left for me. I don't expect it'll be much.
Okay. What's the next move?
I've spoken to her. She denies everything.
Can you believe her?
I want to, but there's this new doctor, Lupescu. He seems to exert a very strong, a sinister influence.
Listen, Bill. And listen carefully. She hasn't much longer.
No, Adrian. Adrian, you're urging me to kill her, aren't you? You're telling me to commit murder.
No, Bill. Not murder.
What?
An act of mercy. She's sick. A lingering illness. Wouldn't it be more humane to shorten her agony, her pain, the wait for death?
Adrian, please.
Okay. Let's consider it selfishly. I love you, and you love me.
She stands between us. She's legally your wife. Divorce is impossible.
No, it's not impossible. We just wouldn't have the money. I'd stop being a damn parasite and I'd get myself a job.
A job? Don't make me laugh. At what? You've never done a thing in your life but play tennis, golf, or backgammon.
So all you loved about me was the money I would get.
No, Bill. But the money was one of the considerations. With the money out of the picture, it doesn't quite balance. Now, let's stop fighting each other and start doing something constructive about it. What do you say, darling?
Yeah.
Let's go over the road again. Anne is dying. To help her is an act of mercy.
Bill Sperling is being forced to make an important decision. To paraphrase an old expression, some men are born murderers, some achieve murder, and some have murder thrust upon them. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
You've seen the Budweiser commercials on television, and maybe you've wondered how long people have been putting that famous Bud label on things. Well, not as long as the brewers of Bud have been putting things on the label. Things like a list of Bud's most important ingredients. Quote, brewed by our original process from the choicest hops, rice, and best barley malt. And things like the following statement. This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs so much to brew and age. Our exclusive Beechwood aging produces a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Unquote. Yes, brewing beer right does make a difference. Read the Bud label. Taste the king of beers, and you'll agree, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
A few good men. That's what the Marines are looking for. A few good college men who want to lead. Men who have enough on the ball to be eligible for PLC, Platoon Leaders Class. Not everyone can make it. It takes brains. It takes muscle. And summer training is no picnic. It takes men who want a real challenge. A challenge of leading Marine ground troops, flying sophisticated Marine aircraft, or serving as Marine lawyers. If you're one of the few who can make it, there's financial assistance available during school. Up to $2,700 over 3 years. There's even free civilian flying lessons for qualified men. PLC Ground, PLC Air, PLC Law, for a few good men.
The die is cast. The game is set. A woman is to be murdered so that her husband and his friend can live happily ever after on her money. As yet, the marked woman is unaware of the fate in store for her. She calls her attorney and asks him to come to her bedside.
You seemed very disturbed when you called me, Anne, but you were very evasive when I asked you what was bothering you.
Well, I couldn't speak freely. The doctor was with me at the time.
I want to talk to you about that doctor.
Well, I won't listen to anything against him, Harold.
Look, Anne, I'm not speaking as your attorney. I'm speaking as your friend. Lupescu... Well, Lupescu is...
Dr. Lupescu.
Okay, Dr. Lupescu. Anne, he worries me.
Why?
He's only been your physician for a short time.
2 months.
That's a very short time, don't you think, for you to be placing so much confidence in him?
The way you hesitated. I know you were thinking of something else when you said confidence.
Well, yes, I was. That guy may be after your money.
Oh, Harold, I won't listen to this from you.
Well, damn it, Anne, you are changing your will in his favor.
Yes.
And you've denied it when Bill questioned you.
Have you?
No, wait a minute. I've told him nothing, but he guessed what you had in mind.
Well, I can't control his guessing.
Why are you doing this, Anne?
Why? Because Dr. Lupescu has great work to accomplish in this world, and my useless money can be the beginning of a great medical research foundation.
Bunk.
What?
Unadulterated bunk.
Oh, I'd stop that right now. Look, I've known you, and I've liked you for many years.
Okay. I'm sorry. He's a great man. But what about Bill? Why are you cutting him off?
I'm going to set up a trust fund that will make...
I know. You told me, Anne. You're going to give him a handout, a modest little allowance.
Enough to meet his needs.
And no more.
Harold, I think I must ask you if you intend to carry out my wishes.
Sure. But I feel it my duty to...
Your duty is to me, your client, to obey my wishes.
If you're in your right mind, Anne...
I assure you, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Do you? Do you really?
Oh, Bill. Come in. I wasn't expecting you.
Well, were you asleep? It took you so long to answer.
No. No, I wasn't asleep. I thought we decided it wasn't a good idea for you to be seen here.
I had to talk to you. Look, it has to be done right away.
The sooner the better.
Gifford has got the will ready for her signature, and I found some scribbled handwritten notes of hers in the wastebasket. Guess how much she's going to leave me. $10,000 a year. I couldn't go 3 months on that.
Well, what's the plan?
Here, look at this. It's a suicide note.
To my dear husband. Bill, forgive me for what I'm about to do, but as you know, my life has been intolerable. I know I can never recover my health, and although I know how hard this will be for you, I must put an end to my pain. I know you will understand, my darling, your loving wife.
What do you think?
Two things wrong with it. One, it isn't signed.
I'll get her to sign it. I'll slip it to her to sign along with a raft of other papers. I have to do this every month to take care of certain business and investment matters.
Okay. You'll get her signature. On a typewritten suicide note? How kosher do you think that's going to look?
Well, she uses her typewriter for almost all her correspondence.
Including suicide notes? If I were the police investigating this, I'd be mighty suspicious.
Look, I can't force her to write the note. Can I?
No, I guess not.
Now, if I'm questioned, I'll point to the fact that since she's been ill, she's written everything on the typewriter. It's on a special stand next to her bed.
Yeah? Well, what else?
What else is there?
A little matter of how it's to be done.
Oh, sleeping pills, an overdose. See, every night when I'm home, I bring her a warm glass of milk.
In the milk?
Yeah. And then I'll substitute a second milk glass and wash the first thoroughly.
The empty pill bottle?
On top of the suicide note.
When?
Tonight.
Yes?
It's me and Bill.
Oh, come in, Bill. Come in.
I thought you might be asleep, dear.
No such luck. You know the trouble I have getting to sleep. What a pleasant surprise. Oh, you brought me my milk.
Just like old times. The good old times. Remember?
Yeah, like old times. Henrietta's taken over your job. She's been bringing my bedtime milk.
Yeah, I told her she wouldn't be needed tonight.
Well, glad to see you back on the job.
Would you like to take it now while it's nice and warm?
I just set it down, dear. I'll drink it in a minute. I want to talk to you.
That reminds me. It's first of the month. All those papers to sign. I got them here in my briefcase.
In a minute. Let's talk.
Nope. Business first, then conversation. Don't take a couple of seconds. Here you are, Anne. It's only a few. Now sign right here.
Right.
And here.
Right.
Now here. And here. Hey, I was quick, wasn't it?
Now for our conversation.
Oh, wait. One more item to be disposed of first. The milk.
Oh, leave it there, Bill. I'll drink it. I don't like it. Too warm, anyway.
But, Anne...
Don't fuss over me. Look, Bill, I've got something serious to tell you.
What?
Well, I've been speaking with Harold, and he tells me that I'm not being fair to you. When you asked me the other day whether I was changing my will, I lied to you. I, I don't know why I did, but something inside me made me lie.
I suspect.
And even speaking to Harold yesterday, I was suddenly and unaccountably angry when he mentioned you and said that what I was planning wasn't quite fair to you.
Why are you telling me this now, Anne?
I don't know. But the restriction which kept me from telling you everything is suddenly gone.
Gone.
And I wanted to say that if you object to what I have in mind, I'll drop it completely and I'll order Harold to destroy the new will. I haven't signed it yet.
Anne, you're too wonderful. You're too kind. I don't deserve your love.
Oh, darling, I've never seen you like this.
Oh, I've been a rotten husband to you. I'll never leave your side.
Darling.
I love you.
Bill, darling. Oh, it's so good to have you back again. I know that you've strayed. When you took that apartment, I knew.
Anne, listen.
Don't explain. I don't want an explanation. I don't need them. You're back. That's good enough for me. Now it is getting late. It's long past my bedtime and time for my warm milk.
No, give that glass to me.
Darling, you've spilled it.
No, it's no good. It's cold. Let me get you another glass.
Don't bother. I'll sleep without it. Just kiss me goodnight. Oh, it's wonderful to have you back, my dear. My Bill. What? Hello?
Miss Bartling?
Yes?
Dr. Lupescu is here.
Send him away, Anne. Tell him to go away.
Oh, I can't do that, Bill. Ask Dr. Lupescu to come up, Henrietta.
Then I'm going.
Bill. But, Bill, you'll be back.
I don't know. Maybe I will, maybe not. Good night, Anne.
Yes?
Adrian, I just came from the house.
Yes?
I'm afraid that I was interrupted and then...
You didn't do it. You didn't? Answer me.
No, everything went as I planned and then...
Then you lost your nerve. You chickened out. All that money for us and you chickened out at the last minute.
Oh, look, Adrian, you don't understand. She said that she would tell Gifford to destroy the new will.
Destroy it? Are you sure?
Yes.
Has she signed it yet?
No, she told me she hadn't signed it.
Can you believe her?
I believe her.
But you said you were interrupted. By whom?
By Dr. Lupescu. But I had already decided that I couldn't go through with it.
You hadn't given her the milk?
Well, she tried to take and drink it, and I grabbed the glass. It spilled, but this was before Lupescu got there. And when he came, I left.
How long ago did this happen?
I don't know. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I stopped at the first phone I saw to call you.
You could go back. You could go back now.
No, I couldn't go back. I don't know how I could have thought I could kill her in the first place.
No. I guess I was asking too much of you.
Look, I want to see you.
No.
We've got to talk.
It's over. It's all over, lover boy.
Coming. Oh, Harold, come on in.
Been trying to reach you for the last 3 days. Where have you been?
On my boat. I just got back to the apartment 20 minutes ago.
Alone? Alone on the boat?
Yeah. I just didn't want to see anybody, talk to anybody.
Or listen to the radio?
Just the weather report.
I see. Well, it's going to look very bad.
What is?
You're being gone this time.
What does my being away for 3 days have to do with anything?
Everybody's been looking for you. Anne is dead.
What? Anne? Oh, good Lord. Anne.
Look, you don't have to put on a performance for me, Bill.
Performance?
Everybody knows that your marriage to Anne was anything but perfection.
I loved her. That night when I saw her, I realized for the first time in years how much I loved her. I made up my mind that I'd cut out all the nonsense and try to make her last few years a little happier.
How did you leave her?
Well, the party was a little messed up. I was with her just as she was going to sleep. Henrietta knocked and said that Dr. Lupescu was downstairs, and Anne
told her to send him up, and that angered me, and I left.
Mm. That's about what Henrietta told the police.
The police?
Yes. Seems that Anne died from an overdose of sleeping pills.
Sleeping pills?
They were given to her in her warm milk, which she always takes before going to sleep. Henrietta says that you insisted on taking the milk up to her.
But she didn't. She didn't. I mean, I accidentally spilled. I brought her the milk, but she didn't drink it. It spilled.
You'll have to see the police, Bill. I suggest that you do it right away.
You think that I killed her, don't you?
Better try squaring this with the police, Bill. You're wasting your time on me.
After Harold Gifford left, Bill stared into space, unable to comprehend the events which had swirled around him and now threatened to overwhelm him completely. Anne's death was difficult enough for him to accept, but now he must face the police and their questions with the knowledge that despite his innocence, he must appear guilty to them. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Inside you're free after all. You hear a freedom spirit, like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free, inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside your free.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Bill Sperling's life had taken on all the aspects of a nightmare. It is true that he had planned to murder his wife, but at the last minute, he found that he could not do it. Imagine his bewilderment when he hears that his wife has been murdered, and in exactly the manner he had contrived. The finger points in only one direction, his.
Hello?
Adrian?
Yes?
I've got to see you.
No, it's over. Thought we settled all that.
It's terribly important. Anne is dead.
Strange the way you said that.
Strange?
She's been dead since last Wednesday night. I heard it on the late news. You act as if you just found out.
I have. I've been away on my boat.
What? Another story? You putting me on, Billy boy?
I didn't do it. I'm telling you the truth. I swear I didn't know.
Ah, oh, that's very good. What are you going to do, plead loss of memory?
I told you, Adrian, I didn't do it. You know I didn't do it.
Trying to set me up for an alibi? Well, I don't want any part of it. Please don't call me again. I won't be involved.
You can be made to talk. You can be made to testify.
Sure. You go right ahead and bring me into court. I'll say you planned it. Milk, sleeping pills, phony suicide note, the whole dirty wash.
Adrian, you can't.
Try me. I'd advise you to leave my name out of it. Bye.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello.
Now, come on. Who is that?
Yes?
Mr. Sperling? William Sperling?
Yeah.
Sergeant Joseph Marchetti, homicide. Can I come in?
Yeah, sure. Come on in.
Thanks. Mind if I come right to the point, Mr. Sperling?
Please do.
Your wife was murdered, Mr. Sperling. And you were a prime suspect.
That's purely conjecture, Mr.
Sergeant.
Sergeant.
Mr. Sperling, Sergeant Marchetti.
Okay, Sergeant. Are you charging me with my wife's murder?
Would you like to hear what I've been able to find out while you were missing for 3 days?
I can explain my absence.
You'll get plenty of chance to do that. But listen to me first, huh? A guy goes to see his wife. Then he gives her a glass of warm milk. Wait till I finish. The glass of milk has a lot of sleeping tablets melted in it. Enough to knock off a healthy woman. But Mrs. Sperling is a sick woman. Very weak. She goes very fast in spite of all that Dr. Lupescu, he got there a few minutes after she drank the milk, could do to help her.
You said murder a moment ago. Isn't it possible that my wife, being in poor health, committed suicide?
I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Sperling. There was a suicide note.
Well?
We found it later.
Yes.
It was addressed to you. Typewritten.
All my wife's correspondence for the last couple of years was done on the typewriter. She had it next to her bed.
Okay, so she typed the note. But it's the signature that bothers me.
You can easily determine whether or not it's genuine.
Oh, we had a handwriting expert look at it.
And?
It's her signature, all right. No doubt about that. Only one thing.
What?
Why should she start off by addressing the letter to my dear husband and then end up by signing it real formal? And Sperling. Can you explain that, Mr. Sperling?
Harold.
I don't want to see you, Bill.
You've got to help me.
No, find another attorney. I'm too busy.
You're condemning me without listening to me. You could give me a few minutes. I'm an old friend, Harold. 5 minutes.
I'll give you 5 minutes. Start talking.
Okay. Now, look. I must tell you that when I came into Ann's room that night, I did so with the intention of killing her.
It's going to be a tough job selling that story to a jury, Bill. Changed your mind at the last minute, eh?
It's the God's honest truth.
Maybe it is. But they're going to think, if he didn't do it, who did?
Lupescu. He came in right after I left.
Why should he?
He was going to get all our money.
You're forgetting one very important thing, Bill. The will had not yet been signed by Ann. The only one to gain by her death would be you at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, why should he do it? All he had to do was wait. I don't get it. I mean, he knew that Ann hadn't signed the will. If he killed her, he wouldn't get a dime. Why should he do it?
Bill, that's it. He kills Ann, but there's no motive. He's in the clear. And you're sunk.
Yeah, but Harold...
You've come to trial. You're convicted. Life in prison.
Yeah, but he still doesn't get the money.
Yes, he can get it. He sues to have the will overturned. The intent of the new will, even if not signed, is for him to get the money. Any lawyer worth his salt could win this case. They'd call me for a witness, subpoena all the papers I've prepared.
Harold, you're right. He kills her to make it look like I did it to stop her from signing.
Smart. Very smart. But now that we know... We may be able to trap him.
Wait a minute. I just thought of something else. Was it just coincidence that he came to see Ann that night?
Doctor seeing his patient?
So late? Tell me, do you think it possible that he knew I was going to be there? That he came so that he would be taking no chances that I'd lose my nerve?
Who would know that you were going to be there?
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, what about Lupescu?
Here, I've got his number in my book. Let's see. Here. Here, I have it. Bill, get on the other phone, quick.
Yes?
Dr. Lupescu? This is Harold Gifford calling.
Oh, yes, the late Mrs. Sperling's attorney. Yes, what can I do for you?
Doctor, you may not be aware of the fact that Mrs. Sperling has left you the major portion of her estate.
No. Really? This comes as a complete surprise. Are you certain?
I have the papers right in front of me. There's only one little hitch.
Hitch? What is it, Hitch?
Trouble. It seems that Mr. Sperling intends to take the matter to court to have the will thrown out.
Thrown out? He can do that?
Oh, I don't think so. Everything is perfectly legal. However, he can claim undue influence, pressure, etc.
One moment. Mrs. Sperling had signed the will?
Oh, yes.
That is not what she told me.
What? I thought that you said...
doctors are privy to confidences, and Mrs. Sperling...
Hadn't actually told you about changing the will, right?
Well, I would say, yes. However...
She had not told you that she had signed the new will.
No. As a matter of fact, I was trying to dissuade her from making me the beneficiary.
Well, you can refuse to accept it, you know. That would make Mr. Sperling's suit unnecessary.
And he would get it?
Yes. He would very likely get everything. As a matter of fact, I understand the police have a witness who can completely exonerate Mr. Sperling.
Oh, what is her name?
I don't know her name, Doctor. But I suppose it is one of those false leads thrown out by the police to trap the real killer, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say, Doctor? Doctor?
Yes, of course.
One more thing. There are certain little legal formalities. I must have your signature on several documents, and...
I can't be in your offices at 3 tomorrow.
3 o'clock will be fine. Goodbye. Bill. Bill, I think we've knocked him off base. He's got an accomplice.
It suddenly occurs to me that I know her name.
Hello?
Adrian?
Damn it, Bill. I told you not
to... Don't hang up, please. Now, look, I've got to see you.
No, that's impossible. I just heard on the news that you'd been arrested.
I was. I'm out on bail. I'm coming over.
No, if you come here...
Tommy, didn't you plan this thing with me?
Bill, you leave me out of this. I warn you, it'll do you no good to involve me.
Stay right where you are. I'm coming over.
Bill! Oh, I've got to get out of here.
Well, my dear Adrian, where are you going?
Frank, Bill just called. He'll be here in a few minutes.
Oh, will he? He was arrested late this afternoon.
He posted bail. He's out. He's coming here.
I don't believe you are lying. Lying as usual.
He mustn't find you here. He'll know everything if he finds us together.
I won't be here long, my dear. Only you will be here. But you won't be a very cooperative witness.
Witness?
Yes, I heard how you have been talking.
Who told you that?
Mr. Gifford, Mrs. Sperling's lawyer.
It's a lie. I wouldn't betray
you. He said the police had a witness who could clear Sperling of the murder charge. Only you can do that.
He was trying to trick you, don't you see?
No, he is too stupid to lie to me. I distinctly remember he said it was a woman.
No.
He said she...
You've fallen into a trap. You've got to get out of here.
I don't believe you. You've turned the tables on me. You've thrown in again with Sperling because you think he'll have the money.
No!
Don't
Frank.
Move away, my dear.
No, don't.
The needle won't be painful.
Don't, please! Please, you're wrong, don't!
Hold
please.
Still! No. You can't run! No. You please. Can't lie!
Please.
Ever again!
No. Hey, you! Oh!
Open up! Open up! Police!
There he is at the window. Stop him!
Stand where you are, Lupescu, or I'll shoot. You're under arrest.
And you'll be interested to know, Bill, that the DA has dropped all charges against you. You're free to do anything you please, go anywhere you please.
Yeah.
You're a very lucky guy. You got off easy. But you don't seem very happy.
I'm not. Harold, I realize what a miserable character I am.
You'll get over it. The money will help you forget.
About that money.
Yeah.
I want you to set up some sort of thing where it can be given away. Give it away in Ann's name, all of it.
I see. What about you?
Me? I'll make out. I'll make out.
Bill Sperling, a weak man, a selfish man, urged, persuaded, walked down the dark road that led to murder. Only a last-second breath of decency deterred him from his purpose and made him realize that he almost killed the one person in the world he loved and who loved him. I'll be back in a moment.
Lots of people are coming in, playing it smart to get a head start, investing time to build a future. It's such a good place to begin, a room to grow, a getting to know just where you want to be. Join the people who've joined the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who've joined the army. You could go a long, long way, long, long way.
If you want to do something positive for yourself and your country, take your place with us. Join the people who've joined the Army.
Join the people who've joined.
For more information, call 800-523-5000, toll free.
You have just heard a tale of weakness, betrayal, and murder. When Bill Sperling walked out of his attorney's offices, alone, penniless, his empty life before him, he had one small seed of consolation. He knows Ann's money, which he once wanted enough to kill for, would be used for good. He knew in his heart that that was the way she would have wanted it to be used. Our cast included Mason Adams, Marion Seldes, Vicky Vola, Jackson Beck, and Sid Sloan. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
They got me down on the local casualty list. They think I'm dead. Do you get what I'm saying? They've listed me as dead.
But how can that be?
Well, I must have helped it along a little. I switched wallets with a guy. His was fatter than mine, but he had no use for it anyway. But then the whole train caught fire. He must have been burned beyond recognition. But the wallet was okay.
Why, that's awful. You'll have to tell them.
No, I don't have to tell them a thing. Why should I?
But what for?
No, now listen. What's the only valuable thing we own?
What?
You know about the insurance policy.
Yes.
$75,000. $75,000. More money than we could save in a lifetime.
But we can't collect it. Not if you're alive.
I'm going to stay dead, Myrna. Understand?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The army in Thailand is preparing for massive demonstrations as the country's ousted military dictator has slipped back into the country. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It was 14 months ago that a student uprising overthrew the head of Thailand's military dictatorship, but Thanom Kittikachorn slipped back into the country early Friday aboard a Lufthansa jet. He has been living in Boston. It's believed he left his wife and other family members behind in the U.S. The deputy premier, ordering the army to prepare for massive protest demonstrations by students and others, told newsmen Thanom should not return at this time because it is against the will of students and the general public who ousted him. South Vietnam's President Nguyen Van Thieu told Military Academy graduates Friday morning that a very serious situation has developed in the country as a result of the offensive launched by communists in the last 3 weeks, pledging the government would do all it could in the coming year to guarantee the freedom of South Vietnam from the communists. Thieu called on civilians and military men alike to adopt what he called the fighting spirit of 1972. That was when the communists launched their last major offensive. CBS News continues following this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 or 3 or 1. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Give your cold to Contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact. Only as directed.
Not much, if any, skiing, but a lengthy conference with 11 economic advisors is on the Friday agenda for President Ford in Vail, Colorado. He may, according to White House News Secretary Ron Nessen, reveal portions of the inch-thick report on CIA activities compiled by Agency Director William Colby. That's the report stimulated by published reports the CIA had violated its charter by conducting domestic spying. Saturday, the chief executive huddles with his ski vacation home with energy advisors. Friday editions of the New York Times carry an open letter to the president and Congress from a group of business executives calling themselves Citizens for a Strong Energy Program. They advanced 20 recommendations. Allied Chemical Corporation Chairman John Connor, former Commerce Secretary in the Johnson administration, detailed some of the chief recommendations.
We are proposing that the President and the Congress give serious consideration to import quotas of foreign crude oil, or perhaps tariffs on foreign crude oil, as well as the strict enforcement of a national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit for automobiles, and other measures designed to cut down on the use of gasoline by automobiles and other vehicles.
The What a Great Cover-Up trial should go to the jury on Monday. Defense and prosecution attorneys have been directed to wind up on Friday. Jurors will have the weekend off before plunging into their deliberations. State police at Michigan City, Indiana, Thursday night recaptured a state prison convict, but not before he allegedly killed 2 of 3 women hostages he held. The third woman was hospitalized for treatment of shock. Police report the inmate, 29-year-old Riley Mosley, surrendered after holding the women hostages in a farmhouse for 6.5 hours. He had escaped from a prison farm work detail during the afternoon. More in a moment.
Again this year, we say it with music. Greetings from the CBS Radio Network and some people you know. Douglas Edwards, Roger Mudd, Dallas Townsend, Mike Wallace. every good wish from all of us at the CBS Radio Network.
This is Bob Considine for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver a knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3003, Garden City, New York. This is Bob Considine saying thanks to you for Project Research. You know, we're committed to conquering leukemia.
Police in Martinsville, Virginia, have taken the man into custody, but at this hour have not lodged any charges against him in connection with the killing Thursday of four children and their mother. Comedian Jack Benny is dying of cancer and, according to his manager, has chosen to spend his last few days at his Hollywood home with his family. Irving Fine announced the octogenarian entertainer is very, very ill with stomach cancer, is sinking fast, and is not expected to last much longer. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
News of the Northwest. We have traveler's advisories posted for the Puget Sound country. Hazardous driving conditions tonight with accumulations of 3 to 5 inches, except greater amounts in the outlying areas. We have had reports of power outages in outlying areas. In the north end of the city of Seattle, also at Three Tree Point, which would be the extreme west Seattle area, also at Lake Hills and in Bothell. These are reports that we have received at KIXI, but as yet we've had no confirming information from the power companies or the light companies or from the other service organizations. But we do, of course, pass on the word to you. Just be patient. I'm sure that the crews are on their way. There have been reports from the police and fire departments of power lines down, and those are being taken care of as soon as the crews can get to them. There will be decreasing showers tomorrow and tomorrow night, that is to say Friday and Friday night, clearing by Saturday. Nighttime lows 30 to 35, lows for Friday expected in the mid-30s. Daytime high should be in the mid-40s. Winds northerly 5 to 15 miles an hour, becoming southwesterly 10 to 20 by tomorrow Friday. Chance of precipitation 90% tonight, 70% chance tomorrow, 40% chance tomorrow night. Repeating, we have traveler's advisory for hazardous driving conditions tonight with accumulations of 3 to 5 inches, except for greater amounts in the outlying areas. At last report at the airport, they had moderate snow and fog, temperature at freezing 32 degrees, and the dew point at 31. Barometer was falling, reading 29.34. There is a light snow and some fog in the downtown area. Temperature 33 degrees, wind out of the north-northeast at 6 miles an hour. And this note on a meeting which has been canceled, the University Congregational Daycare Center will be closed tomorrow, and not a meeting, of course, but a service facility. That's the University Congregational Daycare Center will be closed tomorrow. The time is 8 minutes past 11.